This Thursday is Thanksgiving, and as we begin to make our plans for whatever our traditions are, our celebrations for Thanksgiving, we need to take a few moments to stop and think why it is we even do this each year. Of course, each year this time we start to look back in history of what happened with the pilgrims coming to the New World and how they were persecuted in their home country because of their religious beliefs. They did not believe that the king was sovereign. They believed that God was sovereign, and thus they had to flee the country to flee for their lives. And they wanted to come to a place where they could practice their religion freely. Now, this was not freedom of religion to practice various religions. It was a freedom of religion to practice Christianity the way they believed it should be practiced, in the purer, more reformed way, that God was sovereign, that God was king, and that God had the final say, not the king of the country. And of course, as they came to this new world, they came into the bay, Cape Cod Bay now is what they call it up there. If you ever go there, you see how vast the bay is. They anchored out in the bay because it was so shallow, and they came in on little boats each day to check out the land and harvest whatever they could for food and to build homes, and their life was very rough there, if you ever read the historic account. But they did make it by God's grace and eventually had a celebration of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, or thanks, is an expression of gratitude. And when we think of what the pilgrims went through and how God granted them safety in such a small ship to come across the ocean and such hard times to survive, they were expressing their gratitude not for what they had, but for who God was in their lives. There are many ways that we give thanks today. We, of course, talk about sending cards to people. That's our one way of communicating to others that we're thankful for what they did or what they said or something that they did for us. We think of gifts. You can give someone a gift as an offering of appreciation. We read in the Old Testament about the various offerings and sacrifices, and some of them were thank offerings or sacrifices of thanksgiving. We can offer others a helping hand, giving our time and our talents, maybe returning the favor that they did for us, or just simply saying, I want to show my appreciation for what that person has been in my life, so I'm going to give my time and my talents and my efforts to help them. And then, of course, there's the personal thank you as a way of expressing our gratitude verbally. And these same ways we can use to give thanks to God. But what I want to get into here a little bit today deals with times when we fail to give thanks to God, when we really should step up our thanksgiving to God. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus gave thanks. He expressed gratitude. We read that in the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus. They asked, where did he want them to make preparations? Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. He was about to be crucified. He wanted to celebrate the Passover meal one more time with his disciples before he was crucified and was leaving them. He gave them directions of what to do. They made the preparations. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with his 12 disciples, and there they were eating together, and he said, one of you will betray me, and we know this was Judas, as Jesus says. But while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat, this is my body. He took the cup. Again, he gave thanks, and he offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. He was talking about the day when all of his disciples would rise again to be with him in his heavenly eternal kingdom, and we would, quote unquote, feast at his heavenly banquet. Maybe that rings a bell from our communion time together. This is the wedding feast of the Lamb. When the bride or the church, the bride of the Lamb, is gathered together to be with the Lamb, and we sit and we feast with the Lord for all eternity. But I want you to see something a little deeper here in this situation. Because this was a situation. They had a situation on their hands. It was not a good situation. Jesus was getting ready to die. He gathered his 12 together. He sat to eat with them one last time. And he said, I'm not going to drink from this with you again until we do it in my heavenly kingdom. And while they were eating during this situation, Jesus gave thanks. He gave thanks. Webster's Dictionary describes a situation as a condition with regard to circumstances. A condition with regard to the circumstances. In other words, the circumstances that surround a person or the circumstances that lead up to a certain time create a situation, some good, some bad. In this situation, it was bad. Jesus was going to die. He came to give his life. They were all stressed. Because if you read in John's Gospel, he says to them, my time has come, I'm leaving you. And they said, Lord, where are you going? If you remember that. And they were troubled. And he said, let not your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again to take you to be with me so that you can be where I am. They were under a lot of stress. Jesus knew what was going to happen in his life. This was a bad situation that they were in, but he gave thanks. He took the bread and he gave thanks to God. He took the cup and lifted it up and he gave thanks to God. You see, what he did, he turned this situation, a bad situation, into an opportunity of thanksgiving. An opportunity is described as a combination of circumstances favorable for the purpose. A combination of circumstances. When you have all these circumstances that combine to make a purpose favorable, whether it's good or bad, is the opportunity that Jesus took. And these opportunities can either build us up or they can tear us down. Especially when we get into a bad situation, the combination of circumstances can tear us down. It's easy to give thanks to God when the situation's good, when the combination of circumstances are good. That's the easy part. But what happens when we're walking down the path and we stumble and fall? Remember, do we say, thank you, God, that I didn't break my arm? And if I broke my arm, thank you, God, that I didn't break my neck. And if I broke my neck, thank you, God, that I didn't die. And if I died, thank you, God, that you came and took me into your loving arms to be with you for all eternity. You see, we have to take those situations and turn them into opportunities for thanksgiving. Because an opportunity is also described as a good chance to advance oneself. And unless we take those opportunities as a good chance to advance ourselves and give thanks to God, we're going to be buried in the pit of the pity party. Constantly. We're going to allow the combination of circumstances to tear us down. We're going to allow the situation to destroy us. And we cannot do that. We have to take the situation and turn it into an opportunity, a good chance to advance ourselves. And choose how we're going to respond. We're either going to have the pity party or we're going to say, thank you, God, that you're just in my life. And I don't care how big the bills are. I don't care how painful this is. I don't care what the doctor just told me. I don't care that my car is broke down and I can't afford to fix it. I don't care about anything, Lord. All I say is thank you that I'm not in this alone. that you never leave me nor forsake me, that I have a God like you who walks with me and talks with me and strengthens me and will provide. I don't know how you're going to do it, God, and things don't look good. I got a situation here with regard to the circumstances, and I have a combination of circumstances that are really trying to tear me down. But thank you, God, that you are with me. Remember in Luke chapter 9 when Jesus fed the 5,000, they had a situation on their hands. They had thousands of people that needed to eat. The disciple says, Jesus, where are we going to find food for these people? Jesus said, you get them food. What are you talking about? We don't have the money and we don't have the time. Jesus said, here. What do we have? What do we have? You see, his perspective was completely different. Rather than looking at what they didn't have, he said, what do we have? Well, we have these few loaves and these few fishes. Jesus said, bring them here. Thank you, Father, that we have these few loaves and these few fishes. And you can see what changed the whole situation? He took a situation and he turned it into an opportunity for God to work. Because when we see what little we do have and give thanks for what little we do have, God miraculously multiplies and feeds us and strengthens us and nourishes us and provides along the way. Sometimes we get so stuck in those situations and we forget to give thanks to God for the little things that we can't see the immensity of the blessing all around us. In Psalm 100, Psalm of Thanksgiving, a great psalm. I don't know if it's written by David or not. It's blended in with some of the Psalms of David. It sounds like David. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord, in all capital letters, Yahweh, Jehovah, is God. It's He who made us. We are His. We're His people, the sheep of His pasture. You know, He didn't have to create us. He didn't have to allow us to be born. So, therefore, enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. You know the word thanksgiving there means with hands extended. Extension of the hands. Thank you, God. Thank you that you made me. Thank you that you made me yours. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. It didn't run out with His people in the desert. It didn't run out when the New Testament ended. It didn't run out last week. His love endures forever, both forward and backward, in quantity and in quality. The Lord is good and His love endures forever. Not only that, does His faithfulness continue through all generations? His love and His faithfulness. That describes our God, and He did not have to be that way. God chose to be love. He chose to be merciful. He chose to be faithful to us. Remember last week we talked about the psalmist writes, when I consider all that you've made, God, all the stars and the moon and the worlds that you've made, who am I? Who am I that you should be mindful of me? Who am I that you should even care for me? But God has. He's made us. He cares for us. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues for all generations. And so should our thanksgiving in every situation. You see, lack of thanksgiving, and I want you to think about this. If this doesn't describe our society today, I don't know what does. Lack of thanksgiving breeds greed. In other words, we think the world owes us. Greed breeds anger. When we don't get what we think we deserve, we start to get angry. Then that anger breeds selfishness. We do all that it takes to get what we think we deserve, even if it means hurting someone else or destroying someone else's life. I deserve this. I worked hard for it. I'm going to get it, no matter what. And selfishness breeds covetousness and continually wanting and coveting everything that everyone else has. And what do we become when we become like this? We become the person that Paul describes to Timothy, lovers of our own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to our parents, unthankful, and unholy when we become like this. Thankfulness wipes away all that. Thankfulness is part of our battle against the enemy. When the enemy's got us down and he's kicking us and he's pounding us and we feel like we can't go on another minute, another day, we're so depressed we just can't function. Thank you, God, that you're in my life. I don't know how you're working, but I know that you are. And thanksgiving. Now, I want to end today with two questions. First of all, what do any of us really deserve? What do any of us really deserve? And the answer is nothing. We deserve nothing. We came into this world naked, and naked we'll leave this world. We brought nothing into this world. Nothing is ours. We deserve nothing. But the really wonderful part is, what do we get? And that is, we get grace. Grace from a loving God whose love endures forever. We get the presence of a powerful God who doesn't have to be present in our lives but chooses to be. We get hope. We know that God is working. We may not understand it. We may not understand why. It's okay to ask God why. It's okay to get on our knees and say, I don't understand. God knows we don't understand. He wants us to understand. He wants us on our knees. And it's on our knees in thanksgiving that we start to get hope. We get salvation from a God who looks down on a creation that's fallen, that rebels against Him and continues to rebel against Him, but we get salvation in Jesus Christ. And lastly, we get God's goodness and His enduring love. God is not the author of evil. He does allow trials and tribulations in our lives for His purpose. The Bible shows us it's to draw us closer to Him. That's the story of His people from cover to cover. We get God's goodness, and we get His enduring love. We get His grace, His presence, we get hope, and we get salvation. That far outshines anything that this world can dish up or put on our shoulders. And I pray that this Thanksgiving season and holiday, that we're thankful just simply for who God is and what He's done in our lives. As I look out through the congregation, each of us has a story that we could tell, a testimony of what God has done in their lives. And we should be thankful, because He doesn't have to, but yet He wants to, because we are His children. He created us, and He wants us to know Him and love Him, and most of all, to thank Him. Let's pray. God, our Father, it's truly wonderful that we have a God like You who offers us so much. And in our world that we live, oh, the enemy is just all over the place working on us, trying to tear us down, creating situations and circumstances. Lord, help us to use those in our lives as opportunities to be thankful for what we do have, to raise up what we do have in our lives, and give thanks to You that You're just God and You're with us, extending Your grace and Your love and Your hope, and most of all, Your presence. That we never go alone, that You are working in our lives, and that we will see Your glory in eternity. In His name, amen.